irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. Well, you know, tonight is a great show because I've got the cast from Billy, This Ain't No Billie Jean King Story, here on LA Talk Radio. Now, we pre-recorded this show a couple of weeks ago when I was in LA because I'm leaving for Italy. So I said, I got to get these shows in the can. So what's fun is since we taped this show, there's been some dates added to the play. So I wanted you all to know now, right here on Max and Friends, that there are some new dates. So welcome back, Billy King, to Max and Friends. Even though it's your first time here because we're going to play the show tonight, welcome to Max and Friends.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes.
It was amazing. I went to go see the play. Everyone, go when you're in LA, go see the play, Billy, This Ain't No Billie Jean King Story. We're going to talk about it here tonight on the show. But before we do that, this is why I brought you back here, because some really exciting stuff has happened since you've been on Max and Friends. So tell everyone what happened.
Well, we only intended to do two shows in Los Angeles, but there were a few people who were in the audience who first, you know, came to us and said, hey, listen, you've got to take this show national. And of course, that's always the idea, but you never know. But once they started to push and push, we started to think more about it. But what ended up happening was we got a few people who have started to contribute to making that happen. And we're doing four more shows here in Los Angeles. We had the NAACP and all these wonderful people who were there in the audience who would like to see it again and like to have more of their members come and see it. There were people from the OWN network there, from the Oprah's network there, who want to bring in some of their executives to see it. And so a lot of exciting things have been happening since then. And so we're just so grateful that it touched the people like it did, and they want to see it again. And we're doing two shows here in LA, and then we're going to do two shows south of us, because we're going to do north and we're going to do south, and then we're going to go ahead and take it on the road.
There you go. So what are the dates? Tell us the dates.
Okay, so it is going to be May 16th through the 17th at the Matrix Theater. So May 16th and the 17th at Matrix Theater, and that is 7657 Melrose Avenue, right off Melrose. It's the famous Matrix. Has been there forever.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful theater. Yeah. So.
And what I want everyone to know is go on Instagram right now to Director Billy, B-I-L-L-I-E, Director Billy King, and there you're going to see the link to Billy the Play, the number 2, at Eventbrite. So you can go to eventbrite.com, look up the play, Billy the Play. Isn't it under Billy Play? Yeah. And there you can get your ticket. So it's really super easy. I went to see it. Y'all had me crying up in that theater. Uh-oh. It was so moving. It was so amazing. The acting was so raw and real. It didn't even feel like they were acting. Like everyone stepped into their character like it was then and now and time and present. So it was
Thank you.
You know, I had said that you're like the Alice Walker of this decade. And how you brought like your story, which is, you know, similar to The Color Purple, and how you brought it into modern day. So it was really amazing. And I thank you for being authentic, for opening up your heart, for opening up your story, for opening up your truth, and just letting people see your life and not being ashamed of who you are or what happened to your past. And it brought you victory to your present. So I give you a standing ovation. You know that.
Thank you so much, Max. I so appreciate you coming. I appreciate you doing this and helping me spread the word. It means so much. It means so much to all of us. Thank you.
Well, so tonight, so I want you all to listen to the show, because now what we're going to do is we're going to go into the interview that we had a couple of weeks ago. It's an amazing, riveting show. We have Sherry Carney joining us. We have the cast from Billy the Play joining us. We talk about sexual abuse, sexual assault. We talk about God. We talk about music. We talk about theater. We talk about acting. Yeah. We talk about love. We talk about everything. So it's
everything.
Really an amazing show. And I'm glad you're able to join me real quick, because, you know, we have to give them the scoop of when the new dates are. So we're going to have a great show, though. So I want everyone to tune in and stay tuned in to the show. Awesome.
Yes.
And tweet me at Max Tucci. And let's, you know, if you're tweeting, let's tweet. If you're Instagramming, let's Instagram. And let's talk about things during the show that move you. Let's do like a live interaction, because there's so many amazing portions of the show that you're going to love. So, Billy, I thank you so much for being here tonight. I'm looking forward to the show. And before I let you go, today is my 11th anniversary here on LA Talk Radio, and I'm honored to have you part of my 11th anniversary show.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. This is amazing. So, well, congratulations.
This is a good show.
You.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm glad that we had this interview on this show, because of any show that I wanted to do for my 11th anniversary, this is the one, because we really, we make things so amazing. So I got to give a big shout out to everyone at LA Talk Radio, from Sam to Dina to Ronan, to everyone that's helped me throughout the 11 years bring this show to all of you listening tonight. And if you want, go get the LA Talk Radio app. It's free. Download it now. Tune in for the rest of the show there, or just stay tuned to LATalkRadio.com. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and Billy King. Thank you for being here. And here's to a great show right now. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be live and interactive here on the show with us. So stay tuned, because this is a show that maybe there's something in your heart that's going to open up and be able to help you tell your authentic story and truth. Until next time, I'm Max and Friends, but don't go anywhere, because right now, here's the show with Billy King and her cast and Sherry Carney. Stay tuned.
Max and Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. So here's the story. How you doing, first of all and foremost? I'm very happy that you're here. If you're here with me over the 11 years, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, where have you been? Tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know what's going on in your life. So I'm happy to say that one of my besties is back, Max and Friends. Sherry Carney's here. How you doing, Sherry?
Hi, Max.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here.
And we have an important show today, tonight, because we're talking about an amazing play that's running in LA called Billy, This Ain't No Billie Jean King Story. And I know you read about it. And the reason why I brought you here is because, for those who don't know who you are, give a snippet of what's up.
Okay, here's the snippet. I am an attorney, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, sexually assaulted by my father, raped by another family member at age 6, repressed all memory of my sexual abuse until I was 29 years old, was trying my first sexual assault case of a 3-year-old baby who'd been sexually abused by her father for a year and a half. Mm. In the process of that case, kind of lost control, cross-examining the father. He was giving me really flip and ridiculous answers, why she had scars, why she had bleeding. He said that he would touch her genitals to medicate her. Mm. When he said he went to medicate her, he winked at the judge. I reached across the witness stand and tried to strangle him.
I know. I saw that. I saw the show.
Wow.
I saw your movie.
I went to jail. He got off scot-free.
Right.
And the rest is history.
Well, it's not just the rest is history, because then also what happened to the child?
Well, the child ended up getting supervised visitation, returned back to the father.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up being court ordered into therapy.
Mm-hmm.
The mother was court ordered and the daughter was court ordered into therapy. He got suspended visitation for 6 months. In the history of representing children,
mm-hmm,
for child sexual abuse, incest, I was never able to save a single child from being sexually assaulted or sexually abused in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I was never able to get custody for the non-abusing parent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's because I wasn't a good lawyer. I think it's because the court system still doesn't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of why I'm so delighted to be here today is the more women that tell their stories in every format, the more bravery, the more we are across cultural lines,
mm-hmm,
gender lines, sexuality lines, the more this becomes something that everyone needs to be educated about.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't to say that I don't have consequences still from this tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual assault, sexual abuse is a tattoo. It can either be something of shame,
mm-hmm,
or something of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And my work and your work is to make it something of beauty that,
absolutely,
we have as a badge of courage.
Now, let's pause you right there, because when you say your work, for those who aren't here right now in the studio, we've got a packed studio here at Max and Friends. So on that note, I'm pleased and honored to have such a great, the energy in here is like, I'm already sweating. And when I sweat from shows like that, I know that
we always make Max sweat.
You know, not always, not always, but when shows that I know that there's like a breakthrough for listeners.
Yeah.
Like something comes over me and I feel that now. So in the studio tonight, we have Billy King, writer, director, playwright, and author. We're going to talk about the play. We also have DJ Roger Jr. and Ravanya is here. Yeah. So we're going to talk about... when I say talented, they put all the letters in talented, this group here tonight. So I'm going to welcome first and foremost Billy King to the show. Welcome to Max and Friends.
Oh, thank you for having me, Max.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
So let us know a little bit about your story mm-hmm. and why your story is now in a play here in LA.
Right. Well, my name is Billy King, as he said, and I am the director, writer of Billy the Saint, no, Billie Jean King story. So basically, this story is about a young girl who clawed her way to the top after living at the bottom. And then you would ask, what does the bottom look like? Well, I am a survivor of molestation by the hands of a family friend, physical abuse, with witness domestic abuse within the household. Have a sister who also witnessed and experienced domestic violence and physical abuse, who eventually went on to lose her mind because of it. So as a young kid, I witnessed and experienced a lot. And so mm-hmm. I'm here. I wrote the book, and then I'm now taking it to the stage so that we can reach a broader audience, so that mm-hmm. we can really open up more dialogue and to discuss all these things that are happening. We're seeing it now all play
so
out
much.
In the news.
Harvey Weinstein,
yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
R.
Too.
Kelly, the
whole
Me Too.
Thing, yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
All
and
of it.
When I put this out originally in 2016, there was no Me Too movement at the time. So it was like, right. And putting it on stage, it was almost like taboo for this to go
yes.
on stage. Mm-hmm. And now that we're here with the Me Too movement and the Time's Up initiative and all that kind of stuff, it's like the best time now mm-hmm. to reproduce it and bring it back
Absolutely.
To stage.
Now, yeah. Let me ask you a question. And I know, when we were talking about this earlier, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
But especially, I think, it's different for the Black community
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
actually be okay with their past, their story, and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because there's so many veils of religion,
yeah.
church, don't tell anybody.
That's it.
Patterns, pathology.
Yeah.
It's your secret.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. What is the family going to think?
Yeah.
And so, over the years, I've been here 11 years, so
yeah.
I've interviewed a spectrum of people.
Sure.
And I know for the Black community, this is something that is not discussed.
Like there's another level of shame. Like I said to Max when we were talking mm-hmm. yesterday, I wonder what her experience is like being an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm. I said, well, ask you.
He said, I'm going to ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what was it any... How do you think it is particularly different in communities of color?
Well, I think exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a hush-hush thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in our community, it's happening with family members, mm-hmm. although I know it's happening in other cultures with family
right.
members as well, but the uncle or the cousin mm-hmm. or something
yeah.
like that. And so it's always, it's very shameful.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hush-hush. And most of us who experienced that in the African-American culture, we don't even go to therapy because
right, right.
that is even something we do not do.
Right, right. That's
and
even
got we don't go and seek,
taboo.
Help in that way. And so we bottle it all in. And we don't have many releases. We just kind of just shut it all off, try to act like it didn't happen, deal with it in our own way. And then it manifests in other ways,
mm-hmm.
maybe anger,
right.
more domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
more
right.
abuse. And
patterns
like
and pathology.
Patterns. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drug addiction,
correct.
Sex addiction,
yeah. Yeah.
depression.
That's right.
So now with you, you broke the pattern though.
Yeah.
You did. For your life.
For my life.
For your
yeah.
life, you
For
broke the
life.
Pattern.
Yeah.
How was it to break the pattern and to actually pen to paper your story and relive it?
Oh, it was definitely, when we talk about not going to therapy, that was definitely therapy for me because originally I wrote this story as a book and at the time I wrote it, I didn't even think it was going to be a book. My mother was dying from a blood infection that had a 90% mortality rate and she was in the hospital for 45 days.
Wow.
And while in the hospital, I had made them give me a cot and I slept on the side of her bed for 45 days with her.
Mm.
And while doing that, I said, hey, listen, Mom, talk to me about your story. Let's
right,
talk.
Right.
So I started writing down her story with her and my father in the beginning ages and then their beginnings and then mine. And then I started piecing this all together. And then this is how it became. So I wrote this all out 45 days. And then I have all this information and I don't really know what I'm going to do with it.
Mm.
I'm not necessarily going to publish this. I'm not going to tell the world
right.
about this story at all.
Right.
And then I went home and I transcribed it into the to the computer, and then I'm still looking at it like, what am I now going to do with this? I'm going to do nothing with this.
Right.
Because again, you don't really want to share all that. Now I'm not just my life, but my mother and my father.
Right.
Yeah.
Exposes everyone.
That's correct. And so then I allowed my mom to read it, and then my father. And then once they gave me the okay, that's when I decided, okay, I'm gonna put this out as a book. I'm gonna publish this. And it wasn't until I started to get reviews on the book from people saying, oh my God, this touched me so much. This helped me to come out and talk to my family about these things, is when I decided to take it to stage. Because I knew then people who are not, who they don't have time to really read and sit down and relax enough to read a book. I said, well, they'll go to a play.
And it's a different experience.
And it's a different experience. Yeah. And so I decided to take it to stage at that point.
Now let's back up to the book real quick.
Yeah.
Because the title for the play is also the title of the book. So where did the title come from?
So,
and here's why we're going to, I'll pause you real quick. Because right now you can get the book on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and everywhere you want to go.
Yes.
So here's the title of the book from the author herself. She's going to tell you why she has the title and where it came from.
So, Billy, this ain't no Billie Jean King story. And
I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have said that.
So basically growing up, so my name came from my father. So basically growing up, though, anytime any of the elders in the neighborhood would see me, they would say, hey, what's up, little Billie Jean King, you know, and I didn't really even know who Billie Jean King was at the time. It just was like, who is Billie Jean King, you know? And then I started to find out who she was as time went on. But when I wrote the book, it was originally called Billie by Billie King. But what ended up happening is was I was getting overshadowed a lot by Billie Jean King on Google and all these different places. And she had and she had been following me basically my whole young life, you know, doing interviews on the red carpet. It was always like an ongoing joke. Any relation to Billie Jean King, you know, it just was an ongoing joke.
Right.
And so when we started doing press and this all started happening, I'm like, this ain't no Billie Jean King story. You know what
really?
I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
No tennis player breaks through and life is great.
So, but you know what? And so what ended up happening, once I named it that, I said, you know, I really need to find out really more about Miss Billie Jean King before I even say
exactly.
So then I ended up seeing American Masters, and I ended up, you know, seeing a whole lot more about her and realized, you know, I say, no, this ain't no Billie Jean King
but
story.
It kind of is.
But it very well could be.
It kind of is when I thought about it.
Right.
And I looked at your title and then I looked up Billie Jean King.
Right.
I'm like, this kind of is Billie Jean King.
It is. So that's the irony of it all.
It
and
is
that's
the
how
irony.
We opened the play. We like, no, this ain't no Billie Jean King story, but after a further look, it very well could
is.
Be. That's correct.
Right.
You hit it on the
well,
coming out of closets
the story.
And breaking rules.
Right.
You know, societal.
But what I want to say, you said it's the irony. For me, it's not the irony, it's the purpose.
It is the purpose.
You know, it's the purpose.
Yeah, it,
it
all
really
lined
is.
Up. Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, to be able to sit here now and you have a beautiful smile on your face, for those of you who can't see it, I'm sure that that smile was hidden by years of stuff behind it.
You know, the message that I try to portray out there is, you know, just to, no matter what you're going through, just to keep pushing, push through. Because I've always had a smile in my heart.
Yeah.
And it has always come out.
That's right.
Like, she's been knowing me, Ramani's been knowing me for a really long time, and she could never tell you that at any time did she ever think or know that I was going through anything.
Is that right?
No. Oh, it's fun to hide behind a smile.
You know, let me tell
that's
you.
That's right.
But you know, when I did the play,
a
lot of my family on both sides came.
Mm-hmm.
All of my high school friends and things like that came to it.
Wow.
None of them knew. So all of them were bawling in tears at the end because they're like, I can't believe it. We did all these things together and I never knew. And I just think that my spirit never changed. And I just, I owe that to God. And I can't tell you why, but it never changed. I think for me, it was love. Everything that I went through within my home, and this is what the play also portrays. There was a sense of I say, you know, we all went through a lot, but the one thing that kept us together was love. Like, I never let them go. No matter what was happening within the household, I just kept my arms around them so that they can keep their arms around me. And, you know, so I still have a positive outlook on everything.
How did you deal with your anger over it?
Maybe we talk about that, too. It. As far as anger... how did I deal with my anger? I had art. And art helped save my life.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. I had writing and I just had art. And I put all that energy into being creative. And I didn't bottle any of it up. And that's why, like in the play, you see the two young girls growing up in the same household and how, because we were both abused, sexually abused, and how it affected her and how it affected me.
Yes.
She became a person who was secluded herself, you know, behind closed doors and and didn't really speak out. You know, she was an introvert, became an introvert, and I had the art and she didn't. And she literally ended up physically, mentally losing her grip on life and lost her mind. And to this day, she's still on medication. Opposed to me, I just had more of an outlet. And I think that that's the thing. I think when you're going through something, if you're not yet ready to tell it, you have to find ways to put it into other things so that it's
to
not
channel
festering.
It.
Yeah.
Just
so
channel.
Not
I always
festering.
Say when you're going through hell, don't stop.
When you're going through hell, don't stop.
Very good.
You know, it's the truth.
That's
you know,
like
we all
too.
Have our own internal hells. And I do a show here with Ash Beckham, and we talk about coming out of the closet. And it doesn't mean you have to be gay to come out of a closet.
Yeah.
Whatever your shame is, that's your closet.
That's correct.
You know,
that's
and good. A closet is no place to live in, no matter what it is for you. You know, and the gay community took that coming out of the closet thing as their own. But in reality, if we broaden it to everybody, there are so many closets that are set up that
Absolutely.
So many people are living in.
It's interesting you say that. I have a title in my book. I think it's the first title actually called Beyond the Closet Door.
Wow.
Yeah. So I understand totally what that closet
So for
is.
You, when was it that you were able to say, you know what? I've been through this. I'm going through this. And I don't want anyone else to go through this. Do you remember the time?
When I wrote the book, when I decided to put it out, I knew that I would have to.
How long did it take for you to put out the book after you had written it?
I would say about 2 years.
Wow.
2 years, you know, going back and forth, wondering if I was going to do it. Is this the right thing? I need to change the names. Should I make it? Should I make it a you know,
fictionalized version?
Yeah.
How much do I hide identity
to protect
of people that don't want to consent to this or.
Yeah, and believe me, I made it fiction first because I just didn't know what to do at that point. And then something was like, nope.
Doesn't ring real.
It's not authentic.
No.
So,
yeah, it took 2 years.
2 years.
Wow.
And you did it. So people who are listening now who have can relate to you and who are like, I've been through this. What do you tell them?
Again, find a way to channel the energy if you have not yet been able to speak about it. And also understand that you're not alone. And that's what the whole Me Too thing is about. You are not alone. And find someone that you can talk to. Because I think the key is talking about it so that we can all heal. I always say, like, me talking about it in the play and the book, it's like a me ripping away a bandage on a poorly bandaged wound. But so that we can rip that off. And clean it up so that it can heal properly.
And the other thing that's so important that I think people need to know is it's when we talk about it, they need to be willing to listen.
Yeah.
In other words, there's been survivors like I've been talking about it. Oprah's been talking about it for 25 years. Like Oprah said on After Neverland that she's had 217 shows about child sexual abuse. And still, she can't get people to do enough.
Well,
I was
you know
one
why?
Of those 217 shows.
You were a couple of them, right?
I was on Oprah. Exactly.
But here's the thing,
and
too.
And so it's about talking and about everyone being willing to have this conversation.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was going to say was, I think the terminology, too, is something that's a little bit hazy when you say sexual abuse, because the child doesn't realize it's abuse. So there's a disconnect.
It's like, what is it?
Right. Because it could feel good.
Exactly. And you know? I think the confusion.
So yeah. And that word is confusing so for children who are listening. You're if you're so going through it, you know, it is abuse. You're not alone.
Yes.
And it might feel good. Don't be ashamed of that because that's just the body.
That is the
But know
point.
That you have a purpose.
Yeah.
You're here now. And like my guest, Sherry Carney says, roar is one because your body is your civil right. Mm-hmm. And go right now to Facebook at roar is one. Go to Instagram at Roar, Twitter at Roar is One. And I know that you have set up there.
Yes. I mean,
you help a lot of people with Roar.
And one of the things is if you are a child going through this, even if it feels good, you need to tell someone.
Right.
Because you are not of an age to really adequately give
Right.
Adult informed consent.
Right.
It's not your fault.
And you don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is. Yeah. It's confusion. No, there's shame. There's you feel special. Yeah. There's pleasure. It's such a mixed bag of emotions.
Yes.
That,
just
you know,
talked about that. Yeah.
And most of the children, like one in three girls are victims of childhood sexual abuse before their 18th birthday. Mm-hmm. One in five boys, the majority are under the age of six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a very confusing experience, and the damages from it, it's like a virus eating at you, a cancer. Mm-hmm. It's subtle sometimes.
Yeah.
Takes years to figure out, why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel like I want to take alcohol or drugs? Or why am I afraid of sex? Or why do I want sex all the time? I mean, there are so many consequences.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be right back. I'm going to play a song right now, because coming up next in the studio is DJ Rogers Jr.
Yay, DJ.
And we'll be right back. I'm Max and Friends.
Must be all kind of crazy for what I've done to you. I hope you understand that my heart is true. Mistakes I made them, but I'm making change for you. Have I learned is your question? And my answer I have. But if you're expecting perfection, then we're not gonna last. This is not an excuse, I'm just telling the truth. Baby, I'm so sorry for her. I'm ashamed of me.
Shame on me.
Wish I never done you wrong.
Shame on me.
Every night of us I dream that I wake up in your But since you've been gone, my understanding has more than grown. I come to this conclusion over and over again. I don't want an enemy, I just want back my friend.
What a good ad.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. That was the song Shame. And in the studio right now, we have DJ Rogers Jr. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Max?
I'm great. That was a shock for you for a minute, because we were like, what is it? What is it? Then it kicked in and you were like, microphone, heads off. So how did you get linked up to this whole Billy story?
Oh, man. I don't know if your listeners is ready for this, but it's all faith.
It is.
It's all faith. I've actually known Billy for probably over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And through a mutual friend who is the producer on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a faith move. Don, who's a producer, called me one particular day and was like, hey, would you be interested in being in this play?
Mm-hmm.
And because it was her, without a question, I was like, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me back about 20 minutes later, like, the part's been cast. And I was like, well, just keep me in mind. I was actually flattered that she had hit me about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my faith, you know, in creating the next phase and journey of my life was I want to pursue acting in a mm-hmm. strong way. So when the phone call came, it was like, wait, this lines exactly up with what I've created and mm-hmm. confessed for my life. So this must be the manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So when she told me that the part had been cast and I said, okay, well, just keep me in mind.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 days later, I'm in the studio and I'm recording a song and I don't got no shirt on and I was on my live like I'm on right now. You know, somehow I don't really pay attention to the fact that the world can see you.
Right.
You know? So I'm writing this song and Billy comes on my live
mm-hmm.
and she says, hey, this is Billy. This is Dawn's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I start trying to find clothes to put. Now it's like, oh my God, somebody who knows me is looking at me and I'm trying to find clothes to put on.
Mm-hmm.
So believe it or not, Dawn calls me back and I guess she called Dawn and was like, hey, mm-hmm. DJ. And she's like, hey, I just called DJ. And so it kind of just came together.
Mm-hmm.
And originally they were like, okay, well, we just want to write him into the play.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the details, but then I get a phone call again and it was like, we want to offer you a leading role mm-hmm. as Billy's father.
All right. So pause
oh
right there.
Oh my God.
So now with your faith, because I'm a believer what God has for you.
Then
we're
about to have a great conversation.
So at that moment.
Absolutely.
What was going through your whole being?
Well, I'm a very strong, knowledgeable
mm-hmm.
faith believer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know the word and mm-hmm. like how things go,
mm-hmm.
you know, your faith has to function that way
mm-hmm.
even before you can see
that's right.
what's happening. So interestingly enough, I had created what I wanted to happen for my life
mm-hmm.
before knowing what was entailed
mm-hmm.
in the play.
Right.
But at that point, because it was faith, it did not matter
mm-hmm.
what was entailed in the play.
Mm-hmm.
Then I find out what was entailed in the play. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, because now it even makes more sense that what's entailed in the play that I took on by faith would force me to face my fears
mm-hmm.
and things that are aligned with my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it just became a whole nother, you know, kind of thing. And it really lines up like when you're walking in faith, all things work together
they
for
do.
Your good.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes divine timing.
Right.
So the things
still
that
no time.
See, I love this guy. I love this guy. You're speaking my language. So you know, this is the blueprint to the plan to life
mm-hmm.
that none of us actually know that we're all functioning in. It's kind of mm-hmm. like everybody you know has a cell phone, but
mm-hmm.
how many people do you know have ever read the manual to their phone?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How many people have ever read in full the terms of agreement?
There's a manual?
Of any, that part.
Right.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I look at it like life has a manual and
mm-hmm.
people believe all types of different things and
mm-hmm.
that's okay and that's cool for you. But I believe there is a manual and a blueprint
mm-hmm.
and I function in, yeah, there is a plan.
There is.
And
there's a plan and a
well,
path.
We can go deeper with the cell phone thing because I get the manual,
yeah.
but there's also a plug. And without plugging it into
hey,
source.
Come on. The proper source.
Not going to function.
The proper
exactly.
source.
Great
because
analogy.
What can
exactly.
also happen is
yes.
you can plug into the wrong source and
that's
the
right.
wrong source have too much power
that's
and blow
right.
you up.
Absolutely.
Or not enough power.
In that
not,
cigarette charger in your car.
The not enough for
it's
me
true.
Is like a car.
That's
like,
right.
If I'm a Lamborghini and you're
mm-hmm.
trying to put low
regular,
octane gas,
right.
we're not going to function
that's
very
right.
well. So
yeah. No, it's always plugging into source, creator, divine.
Absolutely.
Always, period.
Absolutely.
I mean, that works for me. That's why I'm here 11 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we do shows about it. And what I love about how you just testified, more or less, is that there's conscious creation and unconscious creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also conscious thought and unconscious thought.
Yes.
And also conscious conversation and unconscious conversation.
Yes.
And so often do we have unconscious conversations where we say some stupid ass things. And then all of a sudden we're like, well, why did that manifest?
Well, because the power of life and death is in the
tongue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And also in the written hand for you.
Yes.
So now you're linked up. Now you've got the part. Because what God has for you, it is for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. So interesting, you know, because of that, again, I'm so strong about the faith that when God is doing it, you don't have to do no extra.
Be still and know. It's so easy.
So what I started doing was, okay, like anytime I know God is involved in something, mm-hmm. I pull all the way back, mm-hmm. like into
and
the
surrender.
Shell.
Yep.
And surrender and submit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you allow God to just do whatever it is. So there was things that I was hiding from and trying not to do and expose mm-hmm. and this, that, and the other. And next thing you know, every last one of those things was just, nope. Come up here, sit on the front row.
Right.
Nope, come here. This is for you. In that way, you don't have to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because if it's you and you do things in your power and you're, you know, doing things outside of faith, it may turn out incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose anymore at anything.
Right.
So I do everything the way God intends for me to do it.
Mm-hmm. And if how you do you know that God intends what? How do you see that?
Well, there's
do you see what God wants and whether God's involved or not?
Well,
how do you know?
I mean, one, you're supposed to study to show thyself approved, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you need to know the word to know who and how God works.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know that all good things come from God and you heard something say, go slap that person in the face.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't say that because that's not how he speaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to have a relationship and know him
mm-hmm.
to know. You know what I'm saying?
And not like, perish for lack of knowledge.
And know the voice and what it sounds like.
Know the voice because, you know, like, even in faith, like, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you can't see it that you force God to show up on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm attempting to do something that I know needs to be done, but I can't see how.
Mm-hmm.
If I do it anyway, he promised that he has to show up and do his
mm-hmm.
part because he's
able.
You know, it's one particular something I was looking for. Like, he does not lie.
Right.
You know, he can't lie.
Right.
So when we do our part, we force him to show up and do what he promised.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
so now you're doing your part.
Absolutely.
Right?
And you
those...
should be a preacher, too.
That's faith without works is dead.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And that's the beautiful Ravanya speaking right here.
That is.
So let's bring you in and tell us how you got involved in this whole project.
How I got involved.
And also you could tell us about your little show that you do on ABC.
Your little
for
show.
The people. For the people.
How I got involved with Billy. Well, I've known Billy for a long time, as she said.
And did you know this was happening in her life?
I did not.
Okay.
I did
wow.
not. Nope. We were part of an entertainment bowling league many, many years ago. And I was just a fan of Billy. Like, I loved her as a person.
Aww.
I loved how she moved. I loved how she had a lot of passion. See, she didn't say this, but Billy was also a signed hip-hop artist. And I do have a question, too, because you brought up about her anger. And I
mm-hmm.
was wondering, because in the play, we find out that you did, like, rough street music.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a way that you used to
yeah.
express your anger?
Definitely. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of these rap, it's hip hop
mm-hmm.
music that you do here, that's them
mm-hmm.
too, venting and expressing
mm-hmm.
in that kind of way.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
well,
yeah,
because there's a truth.
Good.
You know, we write things from our truth.
That's right.
And we express them through our truth.
That's correct. Yeah.
You know, and when people don't understand it because they're not living in your truth.
Right.
So instead of judging it,
they just think it's just
look,
angry music.
Be the lawyer, not the
know.
Judge.
Yeah.
Right? And show up and listen to someone's story. I always say that, you know,
yeah.
with any kind of music and anything, you know, and it's funny because no matter, you know, whoever you put on whatever at any moment, someone's not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they don't like it because they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then all that getting,
get understanding. You know where I was going with that.
You can't be mad at
right.
anything that you understand.
Right.
You don't have to like or agree with what you
but understand where it comes from.
But you need to understand to then properly apply love, which is supposed to be applied to everything if it's what conquers all.
And I think survivors don't understand because somebody like myself thought that what happened to me was because God hated me. So I didn't see God as my friend or someone to listen to. I thought of all the children he picked, he must have really hated me. And so how do you, as a child who has suffered physical abuse or domestic violence or sexual abuse, keep your faith in God?
I'm just going to pull the mic because that's probably a great question for me. There's a lot involving Billy's story that I've also experienced. You know, before my life or anything goes crazy, I was never sexually abused or anything like that. But I'm sure, like every other black child in America, I got beat.
Beat real good.
Absolutely.
Let me clear that up because this is not a bashing of anyone or how
it's a pattern pathology.
But absolutely. But the reality is this: my grandfather's a pastor, my father's a preacher. My great grandmother was born in 1903.
And they all got
beat. The Bible said.
Spare not the rod,
spoil the child. So, you know, and I grew up, and as much as I hated and disliked the levels of abuse that I now understand that I received, I also went back as an adult and thanked and apologized about stuff because I have friends who didn't get beatings, who's dead for the things that they didn't get beatings for.
But there is a fine line.
And that's what I'm getting to. So that fine line is where love and teaching and all of that becomes necessary because discipline is very important. But when the individual is dealing with their own pride, ego, attitudes, anger,
or whatever,
from things that they went through, now you're letting your emotions dictate how you react rather than respond to the people that are close to you in your life. And that's where it becomes damaging. I received that, my sister, and I mean, every dysfunctional family that you know. So at this point, it's about healing that. And for me, it was, how do we heal that? Well, if love conquers all, and then it stopped. It was like, I ain't seen love conquering at all. And that's when I realized, wait a minute. We don't really know who and what love is as people and as a society. Then when I began to study about love, I realized none of us are doing what love is and what love does. If love is patient, kind, enduring, and long-suffering, and bears all things, takes no account of wrong or evil done to, who's doing that? Nobody. So then it became, I need to filter all of my thoughts before actions into these actions and characteristics of love. And if I don't do that, it's not love. That started a whole new level of work and a journey. Process, understanding.
So if you are a survivor of sexual abuse or physical violence, how do you feel? How do you feel and stay in love? How do you make that work?
How do you feel and
how do you stay in the path of love, having experienced the antithesis to love?
Well, feelings are not facts, for one. So feelings are not facts.
We could just leave it at that.
Period.
But we're going to think about that question because, you know, the illusion of the illusion of time is here.
Okay,
so answer the question. Ravanya.
Yes.
Take over.
I would say for me, it was just never wanting anyone to feel the way that I felt when it happened to me. So I chose love.
Because what's the alternative?
Exactly.
Right.
So I felt.
What does love mean to you?
Love doesn't hurt.
Yeah. So what for you? What does love mean to you?
Love is no judgment, support. It's a unconditional, two-way energy vibration that is in alignment for all things that are good and positive.
Billy, what does love mean to you?
I think for me, I think it has a lot to do with no judgment, but I think it's love to me is really seeing someone thoroughly, that to me is love, that you are taking the time to really see someone. If you do that, then that's love.
We have the same understanding.
Yeah.
But for me,
yeah.
The love is, do you hear me? Do you see me? And do I matter? That whole validation of love.
And if you're a victim of abuse, you're not seen. You don't know you matter. And you're not heard.
Right.
And that's what victims suffer from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And for you, DJ, what does love mean?
Man, God is love.
There you go.
He's the one who's been there through it all. You know.
Yeah.
No matter, through all of the loneliness, Billy and I actually were having that conversation this morning. But through all of the loneliness, my faith is what kept me.
Yeah. So, Ravanya, I want to jump into your career.
Okay.
Because the illusion of time is upon us.
Yeah. The illusion of time is upon us.
Yeah. That's all on time.
The illusion of time. So, Criminal Minds, For the People.
Yes.
And now, stage. Have you always done stage?
No, not always. And that's only because here in LA, unfortunately, they don't love stage the way other areas love stage.
I went to a great play last night.
It's so hard to get that support.
Very hard.
So not always, because I've always had to have a job to pay my bills.
It's not a stage town.
So it's not at all. Yeah. It's a film and TV town.
Absolutely.
For sure. But what I was saying is, I got to know Billy through the years, and I love to see if she was working on something, say her own musical career, and something wasn't happening the way she needed it to happen. Instead of just stopping and letting that be a quote unquote roadblock, she decided, well, I'm going to go this way then. Because then it was just a detour. And then she became a manager, and she had her own record label, and then she had artists, and she's not talking about all of that. But, you know, she wrote songs, and she has plaques for very known artists.
And became a spiritual bulldozer and knocked all those obstacles out the way.
Exactly. So I was always a fan of her as a person. And then one day I saw in a breakdown that they were casting for this play. Did not know it was autobiographical. And at first, I didn't even know it was hers until I really looked into it. And I wanted to audition for it. But at the time, it was at a really low time in my life. And I had just gotten a job. I lost my car, lost my apartment. I was just trying to crawl up out of a hole. And I wanted to audition, but the auditions was the next day. But at my new job, I had a meeting that I had to go to. So I couldn't go to this audition. So later I decided to write and produce and perform a one-woman show. And I called her and I said, I'm a fan of your work. I want to work with you. I need some help on my show. Could you come and be my stage manager and help me out? She's like, I've never done it before, but I'm there. And we got to work together then. And then I kept saying, so when are you going to do your show again? Because I really want to do that show.
Wow. Oh, see how that works?
But she was like, are you serious? You're on TV now. You're busy. You're this, you're that. I was like, I'm going to do your show. Don't worry about it. When are you going to do your show? And so that's how we
connected.
That's how I'm in Billy now.
And love is showing up for each other. Yeah.
She also got to see me work as well, because unfortunately, when you're an actor, and sometimes, you know, you're blessed and happy and grateful to get two words. A lot of people aren't able to see your talent in those two words.
Yeah.
Or you get cut out because the role is so small and unimportant to the story. But she got to see me play all of these characters and see me actually perform on stage. So then it was kind of like a validation of, okay, when I do my show,
I see you, I hear you, you matter.
Yes, exactly.
Totally. That's beautiful. So now, when you read through the script the first time, and this is your girl.
I know.
And you realize it's her life. What did you feel?
I was crying.
Why?
Because I couldn't believe that this beautiful person had gone through all of this first. Second of all, because I was like, I'm not alone, because I also have been molested and people in my family as well. And my cousin was raped. And it's and her mother's story is very parallel to my aunt, who at the time was like my favorite aunt, because she was on drugs and her husband did turn her into a prostitute. And I was always there. Like, I would be there to babysit my little cousins, and I would be there to help her, like, bandage and clean her wounds, because she was a heroin addict. So, yeah, it was really, I don't know. It just, I was like, I had no idea. And beautiful people go through a lot. And so,
wow.
Pick up.
I think that our greatest gift comes from our greatest trauma and our greatest wound.
Absolutely.
And I feel it makes us who we are today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that those of us that have survived this, the ones that I've seen are incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing, deep, spiritual, good. The best people I've ever met and known have been through what all of us have been through. Yeah. And it's not that you have to go through this to be a great person.
Right.
But it certainly makes you deep and real. And to have survived what all of us have gone through and to be people sitting here is a miracle.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, because what it does is it teaches us we're not built to break.
Amen.
You know,
opposition
is, but believe me, we're pushed hard.
Yeah. And he won't give you anything that you can't handle.
Yeah, opposition is the opportunity to overcome.
Except so, I'd like a lot less opposition.
For sure. Well, for sure. But here's the thing, though.
If you don't build muscle, in order to build a muscle, you must choose to tear the muscle yourself, which then starts a process of pain. Mm-hmm. After the pain, there's growth and strength and then change.
I must be Wonder Woman or Hercules.
I was going to actually say that to you. Hello. I was going to say that to you in the beginning. It wasn't my place to speak then. Mm-hmm. But because you've become an attorney who fights for people who went through this, what I was going to tell you is we don't understand that God knows it all. Mm-hmm. So the blessing is what we go through is what creates us to become who we are. If he puts it on you and you fought through it and became an attorney, watch, you said, I had no memory. How did you not have no memory until a particular time and season? So you weren't hindered to get the schooling and the learning and it didn't hinder you. I was hindered.
I just didn't know what caused it.
But
I had problems and my anger fueled me. I was always so pissed off.
Me too.
And people would ask me, you know, has anything ever happened to you? No. Why are you so angry? I don't know. I mean, I was always profoundly enraged.
Well, Donnie, you're going to say something.
Yeah, there was something that you brought up about the Black community and how we don't talk about it and things like that. And it is the same thing in any community, shame and whatnot. But in my opinion, because I can't speak for everyone, I feel like that in our community, we are already so highly judged.
Yes.
We are already looked at as less than.
Yes.
So it's like very important to try to keep those things quiet.
Secret.
Because now we're even
creating
that's
more
what I
shame
thought.
For the community.
They're just like I thought. They're,
exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that thing in our community where we don't need another thing to be looked down upon.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like I said, there was a movie made about me. I didn't give information about my background, my religion, because I didn't want to bring shame on my people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I just need to tell the truth.
Shame.
I'm sick of all this shame and hiding.
Yeah. You know,
speak
there
the truth.
Shame.
Own your authenticity.
Yeah.
We got to wrap this show up. That's why I'm getting to the point of truth.
There's a lot more support now. There's a lot more support.
You know what?
Thank you, but here's the reality of support.
The support was always there in God.
Yes.
You know,
sure.
And that's what brought you to here.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's a support from the people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if they want to dismiss it, not say it's true, put different words on it, distract it with other stories, distract it with news stories that were going, the truth crushed to the ground shall always rise.
Has God been sleeping since the Me Too movement?
No.
I mean, honestly, God is never sleeping. So then, I mean, Oprah's trying, I'm trying, and we're out there telling our stories. You know, where is God?
Well, he's in it all because
omnipresent.
All of the real stuff is what's gonna shine. Like, there's a lot of people that are using this Me Too movement as an opportunity to manipulate the system, you know, all types of stuff. But there's a lot of real people that have experienced real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like those are the people that need the help.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
When you say, where is God? The thing that I go with always is, first of all, we have free choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then once you make your choice, you have to live in the journey that choice takes you. And God has to allow it because he's giving you the free will of choice. Sometimes you are the sacrificial lamb for someone else's story and someone else's journey. So it wasn't that God specifically allowed this thing to happen to you because of you, because it's not always about you.
And because look at the blessing that you are to the other people now. And that's what I was getting.
And the blessing you are, and the blessing you are, and the blessing you are.
Exactly.
All right, we're
going
to have to wrap these blessings up in a minute. But before we go, I want all of you, because I always end the show with something that people can take for this moment right now with them. What is it you want people to take with them for this week?
I would want people to know that you are love. You are love. You don't need it from anyone else because you are love.
And how can people find you?
At Ravanya.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, Simple Instagram. Enough.
There you go. For you, what do you want people to take?
I want people to understand that they are strong and resilient and to push through and never stop. Mm-hmm. No matter how thick you think that wall is, brick wall, I don't climb over it. Just keep going because there's something greater for you on the other side. And you can find me at Director Billy King on across all social media.
And tell them about the play.
And then, April 12th and 13th at the Barnesdale Gallery Theater, 8 p.m., 4800 Hollywood Boulevard. You can get tickets at BillyThePlay.com, and that's B-I-L-L-I-E, ThePlay.com. Keep pushing, guys. Keep pushing through.
For you.
Love is a lifestyle. Learn it, live it, and give it back. You can find me at DJ Rogers Jr. That's DJ R-O-G-E-R-S J-R. At Instagram.
What do you want people
and
to say?
And for me, you're not alone. There are millions of us that are there to support you.
Yes.
Tell your story, speak your truth,
yes,
and support other survivors. And let's create a national movement.
Yes.
Because although culture is the ceiling, law is the floor. And without the floor, we all crash. So let's get some good laws across this country. You can reach me at Roar, R-O-A-R, as one, O-N-E, or Roar as one, the number one, .org. Or my social media is at Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Carney, K-A-R-N-E-Y. You are loved. You are seen. We believe you. And we know you can be whoever you need to be and want to be in life.
There you go. All right. And I want you all to remember, I love you. I love you for tuning in. Find me at Max Tucci on Twitter, Instagram, Max Tucci Radio. But what I want you to take into this week with you is don't give up.
Yes.
No matter
yes
where you've been through, yes, there's a song, if you need to Google it, from Mary Mary called Can't Give Up.
Can't give up.
And I want you to know that don't give up. Yes. And if opportunity doesn't knock, build the door.
Yes.
Create for yourself what you want. You're the creator of your reality.
That's right.
So make it beautiful and really just don't give up. I love you for tuning in. I see you, I hear you, and you matter. Until next time, I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends. Good night and good karma.